shit. They got $6 billion from me and you between 1978 and 92. And in May 2001, the Secretary of State gave them $43 million in aid. There's a game being played, it's easy to lose, especially when you don't even know the rules. It's funny how the U.S. trained the terrorists to fight and defend against the Soviets, but then 2003 did the same thing. I hope you understand the game being played. You can't believe everything you see, everything you hear.
Welcome back to Truth Jihad Radio. I'm Kevin Barrett, bringing on guests telling various truths that you're not going to hear much in the corporate-controlled mainstream. Well, now we're going to bring on somebody who's taken the full red pill, and that is Ole Damegård. Ole Damegård got started researching the assassination of Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, and he spent much of the last three decades looking into high-level assassinations, false flag events, and other activities of the deep state all over the world. And one of his recent discoveries is the existence of a CIA-linked assassination ring called Operation 40. Operation 40 is tied into the Kennedy assassinations here in the United States and many other high-level political assassinations abroad. It recalls what John Perkins revealed in Confessions of an Economic Hitman, that if he didn't manage to strong-arm countries and force their leaders to obey the international banksters, the banksters would send in the asteroids, otherwise known as the jackals. These are the high-level professional assassins, and it appears that at the very top of that profession is Operation 40. Well, Ole Damegård has discovered new information tying in Operation 40 to yet another political assassination, this time in Portugal. So let's get it on. Welcome, Ole Damegård. Tell us about how a little bit of background info on your investigation into Operation 40, and then we'll move on to this new stuff on Portugal.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on, Kevin. The thing is, if we go back in history just to see the background of this group, it was under the eyes of President Dwight Eisenhower that the task was given to Vice President Nixon from people in the military industrial complex, the CIA and so on. They gave him the task to put together an ultra-secret team of assassins that could be used, just like John Perkins described it, to wherever they needed to just go in and eliminate people right, left, and center, whoever was in the way. Either foreign leaders or politicians or double agents or whoever they needed to get rid of, they could just have this tool in the back pocket. So Richard Nixon, he got together some of the old wolves from the CIA. There were people like David Attlee Phillips, the controller of Lee Harvey Oswald, and many other major assassins. Not that Oswald was not one of those, but the patsy there. You had Ted Shackley, the blonde ghost, very central in many assassinations globally.
And let me just stop you with Ted Shackley, because David Korn is a supposed left-wing alternative journalist who is much ballyhooed in The Nation magazine. They used David Korn to attack the 9/11 truth movement, and then in response received the biggest flood of letters ever in the history of The Nation magazine, every single one of them, 100% of them being pro-9/11 truth. Well, David Korn is constantly wheeled out to attack so-called conspiracy theorists, and he co-authored, with Ted Shackley, the autobiography of Ted Shackley called Blonde Ghost, celebrating this drug smuggling, Kennedy killing maniac. You know, this is such a classic case of how the so-called alternative media, the foundation-funded non-alternative media like The Nation magazine, is actually in the hands of the bad guys.
Yep, it sure does. And Ted Shackley, I mean, he was later director for covert operation for the whole Western Hemisphere. I mean, this was not an amateur. He was big, big, big time a CIA player. He was also very, very central in the whole Operation Phoenix in Vietnam, where they mass murdered people in many different areas. So Ted Shackley is very central in this whole thing.
So why would The Nation magazine lionize him? Why would they use David Korn, who's a big fan of Ted Shackley? I mean, isn't that sick?
I mean, many times when I look from the outside, I get very surprised by how, I would say, stupid they act, many of these people. But it's almost like they know that they, you know, they're normal people, us, and then there's the elite. And as long as they follow their orders, they're fine, you know, they're on the safe side, they won't be attacked by anyone and so on. And so I think sometimes they even forget who they're, you know, approaching. So they forget about what we and normal people are not supposed to know. So sometimes they just pump it out there right in our face.
Yeah. Well, I just get frustrated because so many of my friends who are sort of left-leaning, you know, they think that they're dissidents. And yet they read The Nation magazine and think that it's actually honest information. They don't realize it's just more propaganda designed to brainwash people like them. Anyway, go on. Tell us more about Operation 40 and these CIA-linked assassins.
You know, when it comes to information, I say listen to all, follow none, and make up your own opinion. Use your own mind. And also because many people, they fall, they reveal themselves by their actions and who they're supporting. In this case, it's very clear that this guy could not be trusted. I say if he's even the co-author of Ted Shackley's book. I mean, anyway, so what they did was they got hold of the George Herbert Walker Bush. That's George Bush Sr. He was the paymaster for this group of assassins. He was a very young man at that time, and he funneled the funds into this group. What they did then, they went down to Miami and they started recruiting mostly exiled Cubans, everything from the former police force and the Batista regime to people around Fidel Castro and so on, because the first aim for this weapon was to eliminate Fidel Castro. That was the first task they were given. They failed on that one. But then after the missile crisis, suddenly Kennedy became a major problem for them, and they turned this cannon against him instead. So many of the shooters in Dili Plaza I've identified as members of this Operation 40. Now, this Operation 40 was created, like I said, early 60s, late 50s, early 60s, and it consisted of about 80 people to start with, around 80 men and one woman. Her name was Marita Lawrence. And about out of these 80, there was about 20-odd that was actual assassins. The other ones was used to infiltrate or gather information or do whatever needed. And then, just like you said, John Perkins were describing, if needed, then they had the hammer to sort of just eliminate people with. And so I've looked into this, and I've been able to connect assassinations like Robert Kennedy, JFK, the Che Guevara assassination, Bob Marley, he was assassinated, you know, John Lennon, you had Robert Smith in South Africa, you have Orlando Letier, they blew him up in Washington, D.C. They were part of overthrowing Salvador Allende in Chile, murdering him as well. They killed Pablo Neruda, the famous poet in Chile as well.
Really? You know, we should talk about that sometime, because can you quickly give us the summary of how they killed Pablo Neruda?
Pablo Neruda was, when they do these overtakes, one of the major problems they have are with poets or actors or in the arts, painters and so on, because they can become like a symbol for resistance. So this is often the people they aim at to start with, to get rid of authors, poets and so on.
You mentioned John Lennon and Bob Marley already.
Yeah, exactly. And Pablo Neruda was this amazing poet. I think he was even given the Nobel Prize Anyway, so what they did was they tried to eliminate him, didn't succeed, and then he was taken into hospital one day for some minor thing. But at this hospital, when nobody noticed, there was a doctor that came in there and gave him an injection that he knew when this happened that he had been poisoned, and he tried to call for people saying, they're killing me, they're killing me. But then... Well, they couldn't save him, and he died. There's been a lot of mysteries around this doctor that came in and so on, but as far as I've been able to identify, his real name is Michael Vernon Townley. He was part of the assassination on Olof Palme later on. He was part of many, many, many assassinations, and his controller with David Atlee Phillips out of Operation 40.
Jeez. So that's your tax money at work, folks. The CIA's cultural program eliminating our greatest poets.
Yeah, it's very sad, very, very sad. But one of the new things I've come up with is that one of the members in this group, his name was Frank Sturgis, or Frank Fiorini, very, very violent mercenary. I mean, a soldier of fortune who spent more or less his whole life fighting anti-Cuban or Cuban interests. He was trying to get rid of Castro. And he was working together with the CIA in many, many different operations, undercover and so on. And one of the latest things that I managed to connect him with is the assassination of the Portugal prime minister and defense ministers. These two people were blown up in a small little Cessna on December 4, 1980. That was just a few days before the killing of John Lennon as well. If you look, there's some years like 1980, 1986 and so on, where they were extremely intense, you know, very short intervals between the different hits they did and so on. This whole thing was Frank Sturgis, only the one that delivered the bomb that was, that was put in the plane, that blew up the plane. But in this whole thing are very, very strong connections to the whole Iran gate thing. Oliver North was directly involved in these two assassinations as well as Frank Carlucci from the Carlyle Group. He was an ambassador in Lisbon from 1977, I think. 1975 to 77. And then he went straight from there, from being an ambassador, to become deputy director of the CIA. So that tells you quite a lot as well. Wow. So the thing was with these two, the Prime Minister, Francisco Caniero, was his name, and the Defense Minister, they were looking very much into some very shady businesses going on in Portugal at the time, because it seemed like Israel was using Portugal as sort of like a middle station for weapons going into the Iran-Iraq war. And so there was a lot of these arms dealings and arms tradings going on in many different European countries. This is also where many of these assassinations, including Olof Palme, were connected to these arms deals. And quite a few of them are pointing directly back at Oliver North as well. He is like a spider in this web.
Very interesting. When you see Oliver North on Fox News, keep in mind he's not only a drug dealer, but he's an assassin as well.
He's not doing the dirty work. He's the guy giving the order or following the orders. He's just one of them. It's like Chip Tatum. He describes him as not in very nice words, that he's very coward and devious man that is involved in very, very many awful, awful things around the world.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the background of these assassinations in Portugal. What was the motive? You're suggesting that there's an arms dealing connection here. Were these Portuguese officials who were assassinated planning to blow the whistle on illegal arms shipments, or what was going on there?
As far as I know, is that the prime minister, he was digging into this, trying to find out what was going on, and it was they were being very threatened about him nosing around in things that he should have stayed out, and. But you have to know that this time, it was just the time when there was so much going on, you know, with Jimmy Carter, the hostage in Iran, Ronald Reagan taking over together with George Bush in the background, and these things. And they could not afford that somebody blew the whistle on them at that point. So they really needed to shut down everyone who was trying to expose them.
Could it have had something to do with the October Surprise? There have been Gary Sick and Barbara Honegger have written books on the October Surprise. Barbara's was first and best, and then Gary Sick plagiarized her and kind of watered it down a little bit. He did come on my show. I shouldn't say he plagiarized her. That's what Barbara says. I don't know that, but anyway. Yeah, he's been on my show. He's not very enthusiastic about reminding people that he wrote that book because it's a very taboo subject. But in any case, the bottom line here was that there was a coup d'etat. President Jimmy Carter was overthrown by a coup d'etat, and they did it by intentionally making sure that the Iranians would keep the U.S. hostages locked up until after the election. Had the hostages been freed, then Carter would have been reelected for sure. But because they weren't freed, every night the media was pumping out, this is day, 312 of the captivity of the poor hostages, et cetera, et cetera. And basically what happened was Bush and Casey of the CIA, and Bush being, of course, Reagan's VP candidate, cut a deal with the Iranians to keep the hostages locked up. And then they were, in fact, released just minutes after Reagan was sworn in. This was a coup d'etat, and it was treason. They should have hanged all of those people. Most of the Reagan-Bush administration, the Bush people, should all have been hanged for treason. And so that was an explosive issue. And as I recall, there was a connection with Spain and Portugal that Casey and Bush fly through? Was it Spain or Portugal? I forget. Anyway, could that have been connected?
I don't know. I don't know for sure, but I know exactly what you described there with the whole thing with the hostage, everything. That is totally correct. And I mean, just like the whole thing, it was on his inauguration that the hostage were released. So it was like a big PR stunt, the whole thing. But these poor people, the hostage, I mean, who could have known or even figured out in their wildest imagination that they were held there against the Iranian will? They wanted to get rid of them as well, send them back home, but they were paid off to keep them. So
right, and the Iranians were desperate at that time, of course, because they were trying to stave off the Iraqi invasion. And every country, all the major Western countries led by the U.S. were supporting the Iraqis, had armed the Iraqis, and ended up giving them chemical weapons and told the Iraqis to attack Iran to strangle the Islamic Revolution in its cradle. So the Iranians were just absolutely desperate, and they had all kinds of American equipment from the Shah's era that needed spare parts and maintenance, and the only way they could get that was through cutting this deal. So we shouldn't be too harsh on the Iranians for doing this, but what it really amounted to was high treason by the Bush people in the United States. And we've seen one Bush-connected coup d'etat after another, from Watergate, which Russ Baker has revealed was a Bush crime family coup d'etat, to the October Surprise coup d'etat that overthrew President Carter, to, of course, the JFK assassination was also a Bush family coup d'etat. H.W. Bush was involved in that as well. And then 9/11, of course, being yet another coup d'etat. So frankly, I'm a little concerned that if Jeb Bush ever takes over as president of the United States, we might see yet another coup d'etat. It could be worse than any of the other ones. But anyway, take us back to Portugal.
No, it's just the Bush name keeps popping up again and again and again and again. I mean, if you want to see a super, super, super criminal, you look at George Bush Sr. I mean, what he's been involved in is just incredible, I would say, over the decades, absolutely incredible. And unfortunately, it includes most of the Bush family. Jeb Bush is not, he looks very nice and so on, but I know for sure that Barry Seal, that was one of the pilots for Operation 40, and who was later murdered with George Bush's phone number still in his pocket. And he was murdered just when he was about to give evidence, affidavit against George Bush Sr. He was murdered just 1 week before the Swedish Prime Minister, that had just months before that said or given the finger to Oliver North regarding some arms deals and so on. So they were just the first in a long row. But Jeb Bush, according to Barry Seal, he delivered some of the drugs that were involved in the Iran-Contras, he delivered it to, I think it was Miami in Florida, and the people receiving them personally was Jeb Bush and George Bush Jr. Then after Bereshit was assassinated, the very plane that he flew that day was a beautiful twin engine, I can't remember the exact model, but that exact plane later turned up in the possession of George Bush Jr.
A trophy.
That exact plane.
Skull and bones type of trophy. For all we knew, he went and dug up Barry Seal's index finger or something. And, you know, these people are really sick. And Jeb Bush, by the way, flew in to the alleged hijacker training airstrips in Florida on 9/11. Maybe it was the next day. It was just hours after 9/11. Jeb Bush and his private handpicked bunch of so-called National Guard mafia gunmen, you know, thugs. Bush flew in there to Hollywood, Florida, and what was the other town in Florida where these drug import airstrips were, you know, CIA drug import airstrips disguised as flight schools had pretended to train the alleged 19 hijackers. So Bush and his thugs flew in there. Under color of law, Florida governor flies in and seizes all the records of the CIA drug import airstrips that had supposedly been the places where these alleged hijackers had pretended to learn to fly. It's just amazing that these criminals are still getting away with it. We know all this stuff. It's part of the public record. And yet Jeb Bush is being groomed to run for president. It's just beyond surreal.
I don't get it. I really do not understand how this is possible. It feels like sometimes I'm living in sort of like a surrealistic LSD trip where everything is just, you know, like, I don't get it. I mean, how much evidence is needed before people start waking up?
Indeed.
And when it comes to, you know, we talked about Oliver North a little while ago. Chip Tatum, he claims that he heard when Bush Sr. gave the order to eliminate Barry Seal, and that order was given to Oliver North. Oliver North then headed the team of assassins that took him out.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's yet another one.
Yeah.
And I tell you, another one that Chip told me was that he overheard Ted Shackley say that they dumped the body of JFK to sea, over sea, you know, in the water, in the sea. They got rid of the evidence once and for all. He overheard Ted Shackley say that.
Well, that would explain why the president's brain is missing, why the autopsy photos are blatant forgeries, and so on.
Sorry, did I say Chip Tatum? I meant James Files, the shooter from the grassy knoll. I'm sorry, I'm mixed.
James Files, okay.
It was James Files. He overheard him say that. Huh. So, well,
crazy stuff.
It's just incredible, mind-blowing stuff when you get into it.
Right. So you have sources who are giving you this stuff. How do you vet your sources?
It's always very difficult. It is always very difficult to know. But I try to, if I can get it confirmed from two or three sources, hopefully, then I go open with it. But many times when it's historical things, you just need to see to the best of your ability how you can trust like different authors, researchers, and sort of stuff like that. And that it is a tricky one, but I try to put the jigsaw together the best I can, and then only present valid information.
Right. So we still haven't really fully covered the motive of these Portuguese assassinations, or maybe we just don't really know the full motive. Is that it?
It is still a mystery in Portugal. I mean, this is more than, it's like 30 years ago, more than 30 years ago, but it's still a mystery there. So I'm scraping on the surface, but I've been able to identify, because some people that were involved in it, one of them has come forward and he's naming Frank Sturgis and Frank Carlucci, Oliver North, as being involved in it. But I'll be most happy to come when I know more about it. I just wanted to get it out there so that people would start looking into this one as well, because this is a major thing, you know.
Is there any chance that a Portuguese court would be willing to issue indictments or to at least investigate this?
We're back to, if the government is not corrupt, they should be going for it right away. But nowadays, unfortunately, on so many different levels, in so many different countries, there's such corruption and such fear of getting anywhere close to these matters.
Right.
So officially, I think that they should have done things a long time ago, because this has been apparently been knowledge that has been known and published in Portugal. But and they've had like official hearings and so on, and journalists have been invited and given testimony about these things. But still, nothing, absolutely nothing happens. Now Frank Sturgis is dead. He was just before his 69th birthday. He was part of planning another invasion of Cuba, and he got like a mosquito bite on his back, and he went to the doctor to see what it was, and then he was dead in a few days later.
No, what year was that?
Cancer. They sorry.
No, what year was that?
I'm not really sure. Not that many years ago. Okay. I can find out. But he was very fit, you know, but he was buried on his 69th birthday instead of celebrating it.
One of those cancer mosquito bites, I guess. Probably one of the same mosquitoes that they sent after Hugo Chavez.
Could be, because he was like, there was no diagnosis of cancer, nothing, but that is the official course of death. But it was this bite on the back that's the only one. And then there was no autopsy. He was buried right away. Boom, boom, and case closed. Nobody has looked into it.
An awful lot of these people end up meeting unnatural ends. It's funny. They spend their lives killing others, and then it comes around and gets them.
It's like the old gunslingers. You know, you live by the gun, you die by the gun. I think there's nothing new under the sun. This is the way it goes. They live very violently. They are very brutal, and they die in brutal ways, most of them.
Wow. Well, you know, we only have a minute or two left here, but do you see any progress towards exposing all of this in such a way that the public might decide to do something about it, you know, find a better way to guard the guardians? I mean, these people are basically the self-appointed guardians that Plato talked about, think that they're the ones who are, you know, going to save us from foreign and domestic enemies. Of course, they run around and just assassinate all of these enemies, but they're not really guarding us. They're guarding their own power. So who will guard the guardians? How are we going to find somebody who can guard these guardians, Ole?
It's up to us. We have to do it, you know. But one thing is, a part of it is waking up to the fact of what is going on. And because many of them are absolute no-brainers when you look into it. It is so obvious what has been done, but still people buy into it for some very strange reason. I don't get it. You know, like Robert Kennedy, 14 shots fired. Sirhan had 8 bullets in a revolver. After 2 shots, people jumped him, got rid of his gun, and still they claim 1 shooter. He was all the time standing right in front of Robert Kennedy, shooting straight at him. But Kennedy was hit by 3 bullets right from the back and to the right. Mm-hmm. I mean, point blank, there were even burnt holes in his clothes and his in his hair because it was so close. And still, people are like, no, it was Sirhan.
Right. 14 shots when he actually fired 2 from a gun that only holds 6 bullets. Now, that's worse than 2 planes causing 3 buildings to turn into powder at free fall acceleration. You know, do the math, people.
Yeah. No, there were 8. There were 8 shots in his revolver. He fired all of them, but after 2 shots, they jumped and he kept firing. And there were 5 other people wounded around Kennedy. But all the 3 shots that hit him was straight from the back and to the right. But still, so in my, you know, like if I say to my kid, you know, have a look at this one, he will say right away, there's two shooters at least. But no. The official story stands.
Well, we're hoping that William Pepper will help break that one open. William Pepper's the guy who got the jury verdict that proved that the U.S. federal government, including the Army, the FBI, and CIA, with their organized crime assets, killed Dr. Martin Luther King. So maybe Bill Pepper will make some progress with this one, too. He's been working on the Sirhan Sirhan case. I hope to have him back on the show at some point talking about that. Well, Ollie, I think we've hit the end of our allotted half hour. Give us the website is
lightonconspiracies.com.
Lightonconspiracies.com. Well, keep up the great work, Ole Damegaard. Look forward to the next update. And until then, stay safe.
You too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
John Colombo was my friend. He was a cab driver. He drove around town. He took people places all across the city. Who killed John Colombo? Who killed John Colombo? Who killed John Colombo? Who killed John Colombo? There was a kill John Colombo.